There you go. I was hitting the buttons to get the recording going, so we are now recording.
Okay. I call this meeting to order. Do you want to list out who's on the on it for everybody on the phone, the public? Or do you want me to? Nina?
We need a roll call of some sort.
Fine. Okay, Brett?
Here.
Nina?
Here.
Lila?
Here.
John?
Here.
Okay. John LaFell's here.
Somebody else joined on at some point. At least the beeper said so.
Okay.
Is Sue or Ed there?
There you go.
Sue, Ed? Nope. Okay.
Is Rob Stutz
oh,
there?
There's somebody there.
It's Hello? Sue Brown.
Oh, okay, Sue. Sue, we've got Rat, Nina, Lila, John Scully on, myself.
Okay.
All right. I've called it to meeting, so ready to go. Mike?
Yes, I'll give background, and we don't – I heard Nina's question. We don't have Mr. Stutz with us here this morning. He was going to try to make it, but I think he had some other cases and other things going on during this time. But we do have all of his information. So I'll give background. We called the board together because, as instructed, at last meeting, Rob and I met with Mr. Harris to talk about the situation with the board's motion to do the reduction in force in central services. Since that last conversation, to catch everybody up to speed, Mr. Harris indicated to us that he would prefer to pursue retirement as opposed to moving forward with the reduction in force. So we accepted Mr. Harris's retirement letter on Friday of last week with an effective date of June 30th. And so that means Mr. Harris would be retired on June 30th. As far as the board's reduction in force motion, his position will be empty on July 1st, and so that will make things very neat for how that process works. In the process of that conversation, by pursuing retirement, obviously we had talked about a little bit that Mr. Harris would be due to a few things through the RIF process, such as 6 months of continuing state share of health benefits. My best estimation on that would have cost the department $6,000 to $7,000 in that neighborhood to continue doing that. And but because Mr. Harris retired, some of those RIF benefits go away. So one of the things we discussed with him last week was he had unused comp time of about 100.5 hours, which would be $4,090. I talked to several board members about that and didn't seem unless that anyone had any issue with being able to compensate Mr. Harris for his unused comp time that he had built up and earned over his years with the department. The other conversation that Mr. Stutz and I had with George was that he would have a little bit of a gap and some financial concerns with retirement and a little bit of gap until benefits began to kick in. And so we asked him to put together what he thought that would be and to present that to the board for consideration to give him a little bit of assistance in the transition from being with us here into retirement. And so at this time, unless there are questions, I would say if there's questions from the board, I'll entertain questions from the board about that process. If there are not questions from the board, then I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Harris to make his request of the board.
I have a question. This is John Scully. Was the retirement letter submitted?
Yes, we received the retirement letter. He has talked to PERS and has the date, effective date for when he'll begin receiving his retirement, and all that process has been taking place. The other thing we have in place that I failed to mention is that for working with Mr. Harris, is we've also received a receipt, a release of claims, of further claims from Mr. Harris, and he does have until this upcoming Friday to revoke that. There's a required by law 7-day revocation period on that release, but he did sign that release on Friday, and if he does not revoke that release by this upcoming Friday, then the department would be released of any future or further claims from Mr. Harris.
And my understanding is that, John Scully again, my understanding is that you and Mr. Stutz met together with Mr. Harris for over 3+ hours over time, and that letter was received Friday?
That is correct.
Okay.
Anything else, Board? Okay, George. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is George Harris for the record. obviously, this has been a very difficult time for me emotionally, for my wife, and a very difficult decision. But I wanted to be totally honest so I keep my integrity in check and my character. So I met with the head of payroll, is Laura Hildenstab of the Department of Administration, and told her that I don't want more hours or less hours than what legitimately give me to when the first retirement check would be able to arrive. The first retirement check will not be able to arrive till August 1st, so our attempt was to help Lynette and I, that's my wife, Lynette, to be able to pay our bills to August 1st. And so we went through the payroll and the pay calendar, and we went day by day. I met with her yesterday for an hour or two and discussed matters. And she said that on July 5th, I'll get a full check. And that'll be for the services rendered mid through June, through June 23rd. Then through June 9th. And then she said on June 19th, you're going to get a check. But since that pay period ended on June 23rd, there's 5 days that you will not be compensated for, which would affect your... which would affect your payout, and that would be June 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. My pay rate is $40.70 an hour, and she said, so your loss would be $1,628. I just said, okay, that'll get me to August 1st, and she says, yes, that'll get you to August 1st, and then we computed my health insurance and the cost of that, and that was $273. And I said to her, I don't think the board should have to pay that because that's my out-of-pocket expense. And she said, I appreciate your honesty. And she said, that's correct. That is what you would normally pay out-of-pocket. So I eliminated that, and then I went and met with one of the head of retirement and a person that our office and as well as our legal office had contacted, and that's Mr. Joel Thompson. And for years, I have planned on doing financial planning and working in finance, and I know that it may not be known to the common public and to employees, but I've always advised employees that when they retire, that they retire in a month when there's 3 pay periods. Because over a period of your retired lifetime, that can make a tremendous difference. I went down to Mr. Joel Thompson to verify that. Also, I took a retirement class with my wife, and they did a life expectancy on me, and being a marathon athlete, rather healthy, well, strictly healthy nutrition requirement. My life expectancy is 99, and my wife on the would give my benefit if I passed away first. She would she has longevity in on her maternal side. Her mother, as we speak now, is 96 years old. Her mother's mother lived till 2 weeks to her 100th birthday. So the benefits would then go to the Lynette. So I talked with Mr. Thompson. I said, I want this to be an absolute, honest representation of the loss that Lynette and I would be suffering, because Mr. Stutz made it very clear that my decision had to be on June 30th. And so Mr. Thompson came and had retirement staff contacted, indicated to me that had you been allowed to retire in a 3-pay period month, your retirement check would have been $4,310. Since it's in a 2-pay period month, it's $4,292, which doesn't seem like much, which is only $18 a month difference. However, $18 a month times 12 months in a year is $216 a year. And I have a verified life expectancy of 33 years. And he said, so that computes to $7,128. And I said, I want that to be an honest, legitimate number. And he said, it's a very honest, legitimate number. And it was verified not only by him, but also by the staff that provided me with the information on the retirement dates. So in terms of Social Security and Medicare, well, it's been very stressful for us. We met with those offices, and yesterday, my birthday, met with those offices and rapidly trying to get everything in order so that we can make sure that we have coverage for Lynette and myself through July, and trying to get our Medicare and our supplement placed by August 1st. And so I contacted the Health Insurance Bureau, and they indicated that my health insurance would, in fact, provide coverage to July 31st, given the amount of money that I paid in, and the state would, since we had one check in July, would include their portion of the contribution. So that was good. It was able to give us the health insurance to August 1st. So going back to the PERS and the request, Mr. Joel Thompson indicated that he felt like that would be a direct loss to Lynette and I over the period of our retirement would be $7,128. Although this has been very difficult for me, because it was totally unexpected, in terms of the discussions Mike and I had on various alternatives, and I won't go into the details because I respect the board's decision, although I don't understand it. I do respect it. I would respectfully request that in order for us to, I want to express appreciation to Mr. DeBrucker for coming into my office after the board meeting and his kindness, for Mr. Waldner for shaking my hand. I feel that the request is appropriate and not exaggerated. So the total request would be $1,628 of compensation to get me to August, to get me through July, and then a request for the loss of the retirement benefit over the period of the retirement of $7,128. For a total request of $8,756. We analyzed whether or not Social Security should be included, and I've arranged it. I said I don't want the board being responsible for anything more. My income at the $40.70 is nearly $6,500 a month, so obviously the retirement check's not going to cover all that. But the fact that the $1,600 comes in, hopefully the Social Security will be able to start on August 1st, and it looks like it will. And so I said, no, I'm not going to put that request into the board. I want to maintain my integrity and honesty. And so, Mr. Chairman, respectfully, that's my request.
Board?
So would you summarize the request, Mike?
Yes. To summarize the request, Mr. Harris has asked for $1,628 to cover 40 hours of income in July until he gets to his first retirement check, which will come on August 1st. And he has requested $7,128 for the impact upon his retirement that would be felt by not retiring in a month that had three pay periods, as opposed to retiring in a month with two pay periods. As he stated, his intention had always been that when he did retire, he would retire in a month with three pay periods. The total of those two requests together is $8,756.
And what's his total amount of money, including the state portion, for a month's health insurance for he and his wife?
The
including his payment
is $800.86, and the state contributes $570.
Yeah. So to recap that, so the state share is $886 a month. His out of pocket, right.
The total insurance is $886.
Oh.
The state share,
right,
is $570.
Okay, state share is $570.
And so the difference is my out of pocket.
$272.
Yeah, which we have to try to come up with between now.
So what will be the health insurance circumstance effective August 1st?
On August 1st. I lose coverage on July 31st, and so on August 1st, working with Medicare, they have indicated that our coverage would start on August 1st, and then Lynette's birthday is, well, that's not relevant, it's August 3rd, she turned 65, but...
So do you miss a month?
Medicare, on the state health insurance?
On total health coverage for you and your wife, do you miss a month because her birthday is after August 1st?
Yeah, I mean, we were worried about that gap of 3 days. Effectively, she may not have the coverage, and so we wanted to make sure she had the coverage. So the question, John, if I understand it, is am I missing a month of health insurance because her birthday is August 3rd? The answer is no. I don't, to be honest, they said...
Well, you got to be missing part of a month.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so you are missing health insurance effective August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And so when does the state health care coverage terminate? August 1st?
July 31st.
And so you're missing August then.
Yeah. And
or you're going to have a gap.
Yeah, we have a gap. And our son, who is in dental school, who's 25, will lose coverage. And so we're going to be talking to him and arranging for insurance for him.
John, what are you, this is Brett, what are you getting at there? I'm a little confused.
Well, I think the you know, George has hold on a second. Let me call you right back. I'm on this conference call. Under the RIF policy, he would have received some health care coverage for a period of time after the effective date of the RIF, as I understand it, July 1st. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, and that would have been for his family.
Excellent.
And for him as well, he has chosen to retire but that doesn't mean that he has filled the gap relative to coverage, and that's going to cost him something.
Got it.
And so my point is that by retiring, I understand, you know, how it affects his total financial position economically, which, like I say, I understand it. But there's a gap there, and I don't have any problem at all with the dollars he's asked for so far. I just think he's short some funds relative to trying to fill that gap.
That makes sense.
And so I haven't thought what that should be yet. But so let me ask another question, because we've had this before, and I've already asked Mike to look at it and discuss it with Rob Stutz previously, and that is, how do we pay for these funds?
Yeah, so the classification of this in payroll, because it's not a payroll check, and I talked with accounting about this as well. I don't think there's any other way that it can be coded other than to be a settlement. However, that is a code that's available to us because, as you well know, it's one that state agencies use. So that would be the actual coding of it. As far as the payment of it, the thing that we would have to consider is Georgia's salary. If we were to pay it from the same place as Georgia's salary, that was coming from per capita fee. However, if the board did not want to make the payment from per capita fee, based on past audit findings and other issues, we would need to look to other alternatives like utilizing the Estray Fund, as we did with Christian's.
How much is in it?
In the Estray Fund?
Yes.
I'm not sure of an exact amount, but with the amount Mr. Harris has requested, I don't believe there'll be any issue covering that from the Estray Fund.
And do we have a legal opinion from the attorney that says we can go forward and do that?
Yes. Yes, Rob would be. Rob is supportive of making that type of payment and doing it in that way. I think he would advise, as the conversations he and I had, is that, you know, with the concerns about use of per capita for that type of payment, that we would want to certainly try to avoid using per capita funds for that sort of a payment.
Okay, that's what I figured. And the total amount in Estray funds covers this amount, right?
Yes, yes. We have more than this amount. I mean, to give you an example, Christian's second.
I know. I just want the amount.
Yeah.
I just want the amount of money that's in Estray funds.
Okay. Well, I can get that for you, but
Make sure it covers.
Yeah.
Payments.
It would more than cover this request.
What about his health insurance, John? How do you propose we go about trying to make that right for him?
I obviously don't have an ability to know exactly what the amount is. George probably doesn't either. But recap again for me where we're at dealing with the request he's made. We're at about $9,000?
$8,700, I think, isn't it?
$8,756.
Yeah, so we're at about $9,000. And the bulk of that is money he's already earned. Does that money that's earned for compensation, would that normally come out of per capita?
$1,600.
Yes, the $1,628 would have come out of per capita.
Okay, well, can it still come out of per capita?
I believe it can, but it's going to be coded differently in the system. Once again, it'll have to be coded as a settlement payment, not as a payroll payment.
Well, then it can't, probably. Then it has to go out of Estray, okay. So his son is now on his coverage, and his son's 25.
He turns 26 in November.
Okay.
So he would have fallen off the state plan. His birthday is November 16th.
Anyway, right. So George would would an additional $2,500 cover your gap in health care?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That would help us to provide coverage for Dallin, our son, so that he has coverage.
Mr. Chairman, then I would suggest that we now, I have one other question. I'm sorry. The 5 days you're talking about, you don't lose, or 4 days, you don't lose those days. They're just in a different pay period?
Right. Those 5 days from June 26th to June 30th will show up on my paycheck of July 19th, which leaves us short.
Right.
To get through the month to get to August 1st. So it's pretty squeaky, but we're trying to get everything.
So that, and that's how you calculated the additional funds, right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chairman, well, let me just ask Mike. Mike, do you have any comments?
No, the only comment I'd have is I think what you're establishing, Mr. Scully, is that, and also that the other piece of it is by mentioning that had we proceeded with the RIF, there were what I could best characterize as some sunk costs that the board was going to be responsible for
right. Anyway
in paying the state share of health insurance all the way through to the beginning of 2018.
Board?
Well, I'm a little bit confused. This is Brett at the moment. I want to do what's right for George here. I don't think that his request of the $87.56 is unreasonable at all. However, for some reason, I'm still a bit confused on the insurance. I do think that we have some obligation there. I just can't figure out from the discussion how much it is. And if somebody else has figured it out, please fill me in.
Well, let me give it a try. The base amount of money of the $6,000, give or take, is based upon payments that he's earned over time. So then he has gone into his process and looked at the gap between pay periods and evened that out to get the remaining funds. Because his wife is not 65 and eligible for Medicare, even though George is, there will be some cost incurred for coverage for her on a going-forward basis and their son. And so that's why I asked whether $2,500 would cover that gap, and George said it would. And so because we don't know, and I would ask you to correct me, George, but because you don't know exactly what that amount is, you just have ballpark numbers until you go look for it. It seems to me we just arrive at the amount. And so I guess from my standpoint, I'm prepared to, though we can't analyze exactly what that is, you can analyze what other costs would have been, could have been. And so I would think that it's reasonable for us to increase that amount to cover those two factual circumstances. And $2,500 to $3,000 seems to me to be appropriate amount of money.
So am I okay to
this
make a...
This is Nina.
Go ahead.
So I would suggest we add $3,000 to the nine and make just a round number of $12,000, assuming that satisfies George for his release on Friday.
George,
if
that satisfies you?
If it doesn't, then we just have to go back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, I'm
going to
marry you. Speaking of marriage, here's my mom.
Hello?
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 What happened?
What?
That was crazy.
I don't know what
somebody
that
joined
was.
Us, I guess.
That makes the call interesting. So, George, I don't hate to jump in here, but does the... $12,000 that John is alluding to, does that, you feel that satisfies your needs?
Mr. Chairman, I do. That would be acceptable to me, and I would accept the release without a revocation of the release on coming this Friday.
Well, I think we got to be careful here. George has every right in the world right. to walk away and change his mind.
Yep.
And so the board just needs to know that that's probably not the, a good question to ask him if it satisfies him, and I'm a party to that as well.
Uh-huh.
And so we just all need to understand that if that satisfies the board, he has his legal right to reject it for whatever reason, bad haircuts, anything, on Friday.
Okay, well, I'm going to make the motion that we provide the funds of $12,000 for George for his retirement. I don't
is there
know
a second?
This is Sue. I'll second it.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, should we add to that that it be funded by Estray funds if there's enough in the Estray funds?
Well, I wouldn't add to it. I would just make it a next motion to make it required.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed the same? All right. Got another one, John? John?
Yes, I would move that the funds be paid out of the Estray funds.
Is there a second?
Lila, second.
All in favor? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would just like to have a final comment here, and that is soon my office will be empty. I'll be gone, and the 21 years of service I've given to the board and the livestock industry, I would just ask that if my name is brought up or ever remembered, that it would be held with. That I was a person of integrity and honesty and worked very, very hard for the industry, and that I would hope that any future discussions regarding me or references would be positive. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell George that it was a pleasure working with him and seeing his smiling face every day. And thank you for your service, George.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George. Been an interesting run with me. We've been together as long as I've been on that board. I'm gonna miss you.
I miss you guys, too.
Yeah. So,
thank you very much, members of the board.
Well, thank you. Okay, board, anything else on your minds? There's what needs to be on our minds is now we've got to move, and we've got some more movement doing, so I'm going to have Mike schedule another conference call, and when we get a little bit more organized in that office, and in the next week or so, I think, so we can discuss where we're going to go from here. Anything else, board? Mike?
Nothing else for me. You said it there. Now that some decisions are made, there's other decisions to be made, and
mm-hmm.
so I'll be in touch about trying to get folks together in between now in the near future to discuss those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, George. Once again, board, anything? Very good. A public comment? Anybody out there in the public?
Was this an executive session?
No.
No, this was not an executive session because we were not discussing legal strategy. We were discussing, I don't know if we'd had an opportunity because George was talking about his personal financial situation, but with no public on the call, he decided he didn't want to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Yep. Bye.